Is your appetite sometimes out of control? Are you unable to stop eating even when you're full? Download our new Intelligent Medicine video, Defensive Eating, Taming Your Addiction to Food. There's a physiological basis for food addiction. The food industry has gripped our brains using powerful food science. Find out what we can do about it. Go to drhoffman.com to download this important video. We will arm you with proven strategies to change your eating behavior forever. Go to drhoffman.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today we're going to discuss something that I think is of great importance, which is, it's a little different than what we sometimes discuss because we often focus on diseases, medical conditions. Today we're going to talk a little bit more about beauty and, of course, associated with good health, but from a little more of an aesthetic perspective. Joining us today is Kat James. She's the award-winning author of The Truth About Beauty. And she is a renowned beauty from within transformation expert. So she's not about superficially applying all kinds of things to your face or your body. She's about making a genuine transformation that is associated with better health. And she herself really exemplifies this, as you'll soon see. She has a best-selling book. She has a national health column, a talk radio show. She's done a PBS special. Her website at informedbeauty.com, we'll talk a little bit about. And she is the developer of a total transformation program. So in keeping with our New Year's resolutions, we're going to talk about your body and your skin from the inside out. So welcome. Yeah. Kat, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Great to be on, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you.
So it's always great to talk to a fellow radio host because you're a skillful communicator. And, you know, we can't go wrong. I could just sit back and just let you go on and on, right?
You could, but then I would miss out on your interaction, which I'm so looking forward to.
Okay, excellent. So, first of all, take us a little bit through your own personal health journey, because picture is worth a thousand words, and unfortunately, the medium of radio really doesn't convey this. But I have met you on several occasions, and you know, without sounding sexist, or, you know, these days you got to be very PC. You're really a beautiful woman, and it's hard to imagine that you actually had a health history where you were beset with problems. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I came from mainstream beauty, as you alluded to, and as you know me and have seen me, I, believe it or not, look much younger than I did at the age of 19. In fact, my niece said to me when she saw a picture of me at 19, "Aunt Kat, you look like you're 50." And I said, "Well, 50 doesn't really look that way. That's just what we think it looks like because of the average health of the average 50-year-old, unfortunately." And so I came from that world. It was ironic that I was, making these Giselle-like models beautiful and working with celebrities for Vogue, et cetera, while I was falling apart on the inside and had such a horrible eating disorder for about 12 years. Eventually, my liver started to fail. I wasn't digesting anymore, had horrible skin rashes, was really looking at death. And something awoke in me, walked into a health food store because I did not want to take the immunosuppressants that they offered me, which I just knew would not work.
They certainly didn't work out well for the late great Glenn Frey of the Eagles. It's actually widely speculated that the very immunosuppressants he was taking for his ulcerative colitis and rheumatoid arthritis have overdone it and suppressed his immune system and ultimately rendered him susceptible to pneumonia, which killed him.
Yeah, when I read what they do and what they don't do, in my case, I had this gut feeling. I don't know what made me do it, but I started taking supplements and just looking in the indexes of every health book I could get my hands on. I wasn't thinking about calorie counting anymore, just about getting my liver back. And I managed to do that, and my doctor was stunned, not even disappointed, it seemed. And then 10 dress sizes came off eventually, and along the way, a whole lot of other information that I applied, and one of them was an odd way of eating, which I incorporate into these retreats that I do. And it's just a lot of different tools that still people aren't using enough, and luckily people are, you know, understanding inner ecology and how bacteria, we need the right balance, but they're still a little fat phobic, a little cholesterol phobic. Those two were things that partially saved me. And so there's also a hormone called leptin, which I'm sure you have discussed a little bit. It's just not discussed enough. And it turns out it played a huge part in what I sort of intuitively stumbled toward as this unique way of eating as well that transformed me.
So you were susceptible to horrendous cravings because of the root of every eating disorder, or just cravings out of control.
Yep.
And you, by modifying your diet and taking certain nutrients, you flip the switch on this hungry drive that puts you over the edge in terms of your health. So how did you do that?
Absolutely. So 25 years, no more willpower needed, no ever revisited by, you know, the binging demon, never came back. And what is amazing, and there are many layers to it, one of the things I was taking for my thyroid, an amino acid, helped me get my dopamine pathways working again, but also resensitizing to that hormone leptin, but the also going back to, and this also, you know, transformed my skin, the ecological part of it also changed my relationship with food. So you have to hormonally get yourself back, and that, and I think you know by now, we all know that it's not calories. You know, it goes back to the time of year and the New Year's resolutions. Forget about the holy grail of willpower. You're not going to need it if you hormonally get yourself in the right place. And again, the gatekeepers of the inner ecology and sleep and not doing sugar and not being fat phobic, they can start to turn the tides in your favor.
And so what sort of diet did you ultimately embrace? I'm very interested in hearing what worked for you.
Yeah.
What sort of diet did you ultimately embrace?
Absolutely, for me, and this is, it can be different because what I've observed are sort of different thresholds that people have, and it turns out in the science that based on your history, your heredity, your exposure to blood sugar spikes as a young person, this can affect not only insulin sensitivity, but also how sensitive you are to this master hormone leptin, which affects everything and is huge on reversing addictions. And to the degree that you have no sensitivity, again, just like you wouldn't have sensitivity to the hormone insulin, if you have no sensitivity to this hormone leptin, it means it's not functioning, and you then would need a very high fat consumption, but only if there is very, very low carb consumption. And so if someone doesn't have those issues, I call them Tarzan types, then it is not as important to have as high of a ratio. And I think that's what very few people understand. And the foremost expert on the hormone, Dr. Ron Rosedale, has acknowledged that really no one has had observational study, you know, in the world, really, to the degree that I have for about 15 years, as far as looking at the threshold in a real life situation where this happens for people.
So you personally are embracing a low carb diet. Do you eat any grains? Do you have any legumes? What is it, just vegetables, eggs, fish, poultry, and that's it?
Well, sure. I mean, it is amazing because you can, from a culinary standpoint, get very creative and with things like, you know, hemp seed, and but also animal fats from the right right animals, grass-fed animals. We need them very much. And even the people who are into paleo, protein can be an issue. It can cause this mTOR pathway to express toward replication of the cells instead of remodeling of the cells, which you want if you want to live longer rather than get cancer. And so, you know, it's really proportion. But yeah, those are the things, and not to be shy of butter, et cetera. But again, people just start, you know, incorporating those things without taking out the carbs, are going to get in trouble.
So what I'm hearing from you is that it may be different strokes for different folks. You say there are different diet types. Some people can exist. I mean, nobody can exist and do well with eating junk. I mean, there's certain proscribed foods.
Sure.
You just can't have them. You know, they're off the table.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be having trans fats.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be having excess sugar. You know, junk is junk. But
yeah.
When it comes to ratios of carbohydrates to proteins to fats, it's variable. And you found the sweet spot for yourself.
Yeah, and it's really a set of symptoms, an appetite drop-off, a sudden soaring, but particularly evening out of energy, a clear-headed feeling, waking up not groggy. It's this consistent set of symptoms that I work by to know where people's sweet spot is and how they've hit that. And it's fascinating, and it's quite predictable, and it happens in a very short period of time.
Okay, so there's another aspect to it, which is very important. And I know you're a big proponent of probiotics. So what role can probiotics play in a metabolic transformation, in aesthetics?
Yeah, huge. I mean, for me, I'll give myself as an example first. No digestion going on by the time, you know, toward the tail end of my eating disorder when the liver started to fail. And this helped pull me back. I had leaky gut. I had no idea that it was affecting all the autoimmune things. So when people have all of these things you just talked about, and, you know, even with Glenn Frey's situation, I believe that getting leptin to function again would have helped him. But as far as probiotics, it affects your craving. It affects your propensity for obesity, of course. But what people, again, don't realize is how it affects hormones. The good bacteria help to metabolize and process hormones and even avoid estrogen dominance, even affects thyroid. So we're talking good bacteria, and we all have our own unique ones internally and externally, actually affecting all of the things that affect obesity and mood and depression, these things that shape our relationship with food. And also they release chemicals, the good bacteria, or unfortunately the bad ones do too, that actually drive us to you know, make different choices.
Mm-hmm.
And this hasn't been directly, you know, but I'm highly suspect that when our hand goes to the left toward the junk, when we've just said in our mind we need to eat whatever healthy thing is to the right, I think that there's some bacteria at work there.
Right. It's as if they commandeer us. I'm thinking of Invasion
Absolutely.
Of the Body Snatchers. It's almost like some alien force takes over our will and makes us subservient to their needs. And, you know, certain bad bacteria, they subsist on junk. They really flourish with sugar. You know, and I used to have, Kat, I used to have patients come to see me, and, you know, they failed on their diet, you know, and they were, you know, kind of apologetic, and they had gained weight. And they said, I think the candida made me do it. And I thought this is just an out, you know, like looking for something to blame. But recently we've come to realize that, well, maybe it's an oversimplification, but our candida, which is a fungal species and certain bacterial species, may send signals to the central nervous system, to the brain, to feed them, to feed them at the expense of the host.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see a difference in people's how their personality with their food changes when they've had antibiotics. I've seen people who've never had issues with food suddenly have issues with food after taking antibiotics. So I believe you.
Yeah, I mean, antibiotics certainly can have negative effects on weight. We've actually seen studies that show that the more antibiotics a child takes, the more likely he or she is prone to obesity. So, and it doesn't take very many rounds of antibiotics for that effect to kick in. So,
And the personality change that can happen too, you know, when they've changed the bacteria in the guts of two different sets of mice, one of them confident, one of them withdrawn and anxious, and saw their personalities change. It's pretty, and the anxious one, sorry, in the human world, the anxious one's going to go for the sugar.
Yeah, well, and interestingly, anxiety and stress, it's now been shown, may alter the intestinal flora. This is a fascinating relationship there. It's kind of a chicken and egg. Flora may lead to anxiety. Anxiety provokes stress, which may perpetuate the vicious cycle. And, you know, that's why some people are just really stuck on a weight loss merry-go-round.
Yeah, yeah. And, it is amazing that, for me, with the rashes, it wouldn't be till 10 years later that these horrific rashes that went away, and I don't even have the same person's skin, that all that, again, was, and my Hashimoto's, autoimmune, and how affected it is, it just keeps unfolding with this research. And the amazing thing is, on the outside, too, you can obliterate your predisposition. I mean, you can just really make it so that you're predisposed to all of these issues if you obliterate from the outside the bacteria on the surface of the skin as well. You know what I call the pro-beauty functions, the lipid barrier and the acid mantle. They need to just be there. They're smarter than anything that the synthetic world can come up with, and you know, not even the most expensive topical could do anything close to what would happen if we just, what I say in my book, The Truth About Beauty, get back our virgin skin by regaining those pro-beauty functions.
Well, this is actually very interesting what you bring up. I want to get back later to your recommendations for oral probiotics. We all know about oral probiotics, but I think a very new notion, and actually we're seeing some companies begin to patent different formulas and introduce different formulas. I saw recently a promotion for a company that was introducing a probiotic that was designed to replace soap. So instead of washing yourself, you just applied the probiotic in lieu of washing, because they say washing, you know, strips beneficial oils from your skin surface.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
absolutely.
Do you have a range of products that offer those benefits?
Yeah. And, of course, I don't sell them. You know, I'm a sort of a purveyor of these things, a wide variety of things that I kind of look into. But the type of probiotic, you want it to be real and viable, but you also want prebiotic in there, because you have your own good bacteria, different ones on the backs of your knees than you have on your face or behind your ears. And they all need their food, and they all need advantages over the bad guys. And so there is the Dr. O'Hara's that was in my book when it first was published in 2002, and that is a probiotic, the award-winning one that has been exposed to seasonal temperatures, so you know it's still viable. It's got the pH-10 strain, which was more powerful than any of the other.
Are you talking about the internal Dr. O'Hara's, the one, the Dr. O'Hara's 12 formula that's taken internally, or are you talking about some kind of topical one?
I was just thinking about their new external products, but absolutely they're, without question, this is the only internal product as well that I use, because I don't have to guess whether it's viable anymore. It's been exposed to seasonal temperatures. The hardiest guys have survived. It's never been separated from the food source. And it is something you can take traveling, because you know that even if it's been warehoused, it's going to still be viable. A lot of people, you know, take the things with 3 billion, trillion of this or that, that's been freeze-dried and separated from its food source in a little capsule, and you can only hope that that's going to be viable. And there are some expert opinion that introducing that many of one or two strains could also even cause an autoimmune reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might imbalance the gastrointestinal tract. So there's a topical product that I think Dr. Harris makes that we don't talk about very much, so describe that.
Yeah. Sure. You're going to let me pronounce them. It's Magaroku is the one. It's Magaroku.
Right.
And this is not for vegans. There's a vegan version, Hada Yubi. But I will tell you, the Magaroku is from, it has equine oil in it, and it is a traditional Japanese oil, but it is pretty amazing. And for people who have just run out of answers for dry skin, irritated skin, sensitive skin, you're going to see a difference. Not only, none of the what I call red flag ingredients, but it is utilized by the skin in an incredible way. But this fermented good bacterial mixture that Dr. O'Hara, actually the actual Dr. O'Hara, came up with and won an award for, has the fermented seaweed. These are some of the things that were in one of the most famously expensive products, seaweed and fermented seaweed. I won't say the name of it, but that was a notorious product. That used a synthetic emollient, et cetera. This stuff is amazing. The Kampuku is a beauty bar that is a probiotic beauty bar. These things can be used with people's serums. And I just suggest, again, cut out the synthetics, cut out the perfume, the synthetic emollients, and the exfoliants that are harsh.
And the antibacterial soaps that kill off everything indiscriminately. Explain why applying bacteria, I mean, my goodness, you put bacteria on your skin? Whoa. Yeah. How does that possibly help the situation?
Well, there are it's been, some of these products have had some direct research, and there's more that needs to be done, but the prebiotic aspect and the postbiotic are more easily just identified as absolute help for the good bacteria on the surface of the skin. And the probiotics, the products work. They're not completely sure exactly why, but there's going to be less sensitivity. You need to just rebuild this, and it has to go hand in hand with not depleting. And just like you said, rather than soap and solvents, and even the synthetic emollients like mineral oil or petrolatum that are in most of the emollient products, they disable the skin. This stuff works absolutely with it, and the external environment of the skin is very alive. You also need the lipid barrier. It's supposed to be waterproof, so we shouldn't, in the same way that you want to not ruin that balance and this idea of just probiotic soap, you also don't want to strip the oil, and you want to purify the skin. You can use essential oils in products to do that without stripping it, not foaming products.
Well, most health food stores and big chains carry Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, and we recently talked about the RegActive products that they've now introduced, the ones that contain glutathione-producing bacteria. Is quite an innovation. But these topical products, I'm not sure that they're carried as widely. So is there a source? Can you go to a website and order those?
Sure. I know that Essential Formulas has a website. You could certainly go there, find out what, if you want it from a local store, which ones have it. And so that's where I would start, is go to Essential Formulas website. And the ME3 that you just brought up, that's another, big beauty secret, is keeping the glutathione levels up and to make a little, glutathione factories within your body is the brand new capability that we have if we incorporate that bacterium and in that RegActive product.
Okay, well, this is a good point at which to pause, because our listeners know we divide these podcasts into two parts. You sort of laid out the case for beauty from the inside out rather than the outside in, although, topical products have their place, as is these beneficial bacteria and these beneficial oils. So in part two, we invite our listeners to join us. And in part two, we're going to talk a little bit about diet, the right kind of supplements, the effects of exercise on the skin, and in terms of overall aesthetics. We're talking to Kat James. She's the award-winning author of The Truth About Beauty. She's got a website at informedbeauty.com, and she offers total transformation programs. We'll find out what that entails in part two of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.